I'm glad no one came into the hospital during the hurricane. That's important.
Very few.
Gentlemen, Shavuot Tov. Interesting to me that we not only talk, but preach and pay a lot for Talmud Torah. First of all, we talk about it. We say every morning the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, quoting that famous Mishnah, that Talmud Torah is one of those few mitzvot in the Torah that ultimately the Torah, the Gemara says, is like Shakul Keneged. I don't know how to properly translate that into English. Suffice it to say, it is as bad as the 613. To be perfectly honest with you, Tzitzis has that same notion next to it. Eretz Yisrael has that same notion next to it as well. So Talmud Torah is not alone, but it's one of those mitzvot that is on the level of the rest of the 613. So we talk about it a lot. Not only do we preach it, we do it. We pay for it. You know how much tuition is around the world for private Jewish day school. You know that from day one, teachers, principals, Rosh Yeshiva, rabbis, whoever happens to define themselves as a little bit Jewish, dealing with Jewish stuff, always encourages Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah seems to be way up there. So ultimately, we talk about it, we preach it, we encourage it, and then comes the day where you finish the day school system, you went to your year in Israel, or your 5 years in a Hesdi Yeshiva, and finally you're into the workforce. And you're living in a community as a balabayit. My question to you is, what happens on that day in the...
You know everything. What more is there to learn, right?
So the famous joke goes, and there was a guy in Lakewood that went through a stop sign. And a cop stopped him and wrote him a ticket. And then said to him, how long have you been learning here in the yeshiva? If you know Lakewood today, it's basically the yeshiva. So he took a wild guess. This guy with the uniform that we spoke about Wednesday is probably from the yeshiva. The guy says, I've been learning here for 10 years. So the cop says, 10 years? You must be the stupidest guy in the yeshiva. You haven't graduated in 10 years? Ultimately, that joke, in my opinion, if you make it a bit more subtle, is one of my critiques on our community or my community that I live in. It seems to me there's a huge gap between what a kid is taught in day school and high school and yeshiva and whatnot, and the day he becomes a balabayit, who goes to work in the morning, who has his own kids. Where do we put the emphasis? Where is there an encouragement on your own outside of the formalized system? Namely, you're now on vacation, or you're now a balabayit. Do we encourage it? And is there a respect for it? Now, in order to answer this question, I want to first give you a very small 2-minute introduction as to how I understand Chazal's notion that Talmud Torah keneged kulam, that Talmud Torah is shakol keneged kol ha-mitzvot, and that only if you have a mitzvah overet, only if you have a mitzvah that if you don't do it right now, you're not going to be able to do it, do you stop Talmud Torah. Because ha-osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. If you're busy with the one mitzvah, you don't have to do another mitzvah. So if a person is learning Torah on the books, he doesn't really need to do anything else. Any other mitzvah, except for a mitzvah uveret and other small little conditions. For example, he has to say Kriyat Shema. So Kriyat Shema, as you know, is very limited. We can only say Kriyat Shema in the morning till when? Close, Bruce. Davening is the fourth hour. Shmon Ezra, fourth hour. So you only have 3 hours, and you're learning Daf Yomi, and you're really steiging away, you have to stop and say Kriyat Shema. But if it isn't a mitzvah overet, a mitzvah that's limited in time, ha'osek b'mitzvah, patumina mitzvah, Talmud Torah keneged kulam, how come it's so much up there? So this is not a shir about tzitzis and about Eretz Yisrael, which is also up there. I want to talk about Talmud Torah. I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Amital Zichrono Livracha, who I miss very much, the following about Talmud Torah. Every limb in your body, you can decide not to use it. For example, I am now sitting here, I'm looking at Alex. Alex is chewing a toothpick, so he's using his mouth. He's rubbing his eyes, so he's using... You continue, it's okay. In fact, you're ruining it for me if you stop. Well, comes along Alex, and he's not using his hands right now because I mentioned his name. and his feet is on the ground, so he's not using his feet. What is the only thing that is working right now, whether Alex likes it or not? The brain. Brain. Your brain and your heart are one of the parts of your body that always works. Now, your heart, obviously, you need in order to stay alive. But your brain, you also need to stay alive. But the brain does something else. Because of your neshama, it thinks. So as I'm talking to you right now, you could be thinking, this guy is talking baloney and garbage and he's dumb wasting our time. And I wouldn't know. As a matter of fact, it's the only limb in the body that can go either way. As the Gemara says, a Jew can be the biggest malach or can be the biggest rasha. The brain is able to think up the most amazing chidushim and how to get closer to God in Elul. And that same brain has the potential to think about, let's start a whole tax scheme so we can evade taxes and become rich. Same brain. So there's only one limb in your body that works all the time and that can do damage or great things, and that's your brain. Therefore, Chazal said, Tamu Tarak, you have to go ahead and learn Torah, because if not, what is your brain going to think about? Everything else. Now, everything else can be great. So if you're working, I'm glad you're taking care of your parnasa. That's fine. That's important. That's legitimate. That's the way we live. If you're taking care of your kids, you're finding a way to get them better. You're finding a way to find a remedy for a sickness. It's wonderful. However, if your brain is bored, then what happens? It doesn't just sit around like my feet now are not working. What does your brain think of? Everything else. Doesn't ever stay idle. Unless you're sleeping, your brain is always thinking and working and thinking and working. Even if you're sleeping, your brain works, but doesn't necessarily think. You are thinking now as I'm talking to you when you're awake. So if that's the case, Chazal were so smart, it said, fill in your time with Talmud Torah, because if not, what's going to happen? Let me quote an amazing Medrash to you. The Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Naso. Vayehi alot Moshe lahakim et ha-mishkan. On the day that Moshe finished building the Mishkan. How do I know this pasuk by heart? We read it twice a year. We read it on Parshas Naso. And when else do we read it? On Chanukah. Says the Medrash Tanchuma on those psukim. Vayehi, in Chazal at least, understanding, is always a lashon sa'a. V'haya means good stuff. V'haya im shamot ishmol mitzvotai. Right? That's good. But v'yehi is v'shon tsar. So what happened? Moshe finished building the Mishkan and he went, hey, hey. We finished building the Mishkan. Shouldn't he have been happy? A big major project is finished. He should be exorbitant with jubilant happiness. But instead, Moshe Rabbeinu says, hey, hey. V'yehi. So the Medrash Tanchuma brings a beautiful mashal. Says, there's a woman, excuse me for the analogy, I know maybe women listening will not like it, but I'll just say that we're all women, because we're the Kala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rechir Ashirim, Lechadodi. So, a woman with a meat. What's a da'aganit?
That's again, queen's in trouble for everybody.
No, what's a da'aganit?
A worrier.
A worrier. She's always worried, she's always nagging. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Melech, the king, said, all right, I have to get you off my back. All you do is keep on worrying and bothering me all day at the office. I'm going to give you a popira. The popira is some sort of a very sophisticated piece of cloth to sew. And I want you to make me a popira. So she took days and weeks to make this popira. Took time and time. During the time she was busy, what didn't she do? She didn't worry and she didn't nag. Beautiful. Well, every good thing comes to an end. So eventually this pulpira was made. Once it's made, she goes back to worrying and nagging. Says the Medrash, this is what happened. When the Jewish people were busy building the Mishkan, they were busy. No nagging, no complaint. They were busy with the right things. Once they couldn't utilize their time to build the Mikdash, to build the Mishkan. So, what did they go back to do? Nagging. Look in the Psukim. Shortly after Parshas Naso was Parshas Ba'alotcha. And Parshas Ba'alotcha, you got all the kvetchitis from beginning to end. Mitavim, mitonimim, they want meat, they want this, the man's no good, this is no good, everything's no good. Shortly afterwards comes the meraglim. When they're busy, they don't complain. They're busy with the right things. When they're not busy, As the Gemara says, Shiamum mevi liyadei batala, and according to one version, liyadei chet. That's why I believe Talmud Torah keneged kulam. If you're busy with Talmud Torah, then ultimately your mind is busy with the right things. So either you're in school and you're doing that, or if you're at home cleaning the floors and you're busy with that. But the minute you're free, at that moment, you should be learning Torah. Because if not, your brain's going to be doing something else. It's not going to stay idle. And we all know today what your brain is capable of doing and looking at certain different sites and webcam and web and TV if it's not busy with the right thing. For I believe Talmud Torah can make it kulam. Now, if that's the case, my small critique this morning against our community, and I mean it with love because I live in the community, so I take full responsibility, and I hope you do. I believe in our community. Once you reach a certain stage, there's less and less respect of the people that actually do busy themselves with Torah during their free time. Again, they work for a living. They're not freeloaders. But like what we're doing this morning, we're sitting in a kollel, and you're all going to go to work later based on American hours. So ultimately this morning, instead of sitting at home sleeping late, you're learning Torah, I'm wondering to myself out loud, how many people said that's a wonderful, amazing thing you're doing? You're sitting around, you're learning, and you're pondering in Torah instead of just sitting around and doing nothing, waiting for the business hours in America to open up. You're actually busying yourself with something else, namely learning Torah. I'm wondering how many people in our community look at that with awe and with pride. I can just give you one example. One of the schools in Ephrat that we live in has a baby older age, meaning school is over. They have like what we had in America called Mishmer, right? Another hour they stay, they learn the Chavrusa, and there's not going to be no tests. It's going to be Mamish, a base medrash. An hour, once a week. Thank God, I believe the majority of the kids are going to be there. But I ask myself, how many kids are there because their parents said it's important to learn extra Torah, even though there's no tests, there's no marks? It's important to busy yourself with Torah. And how many parents said, can you help me out? You'll be home for one less hour. Better for you. That's a good babysitting service. How many parents asked one question? Is there a mark for it or not? How many parents wanted to know, does it go into your report card or doesn't it? I believe that one of the things missing in our community is the genuine respect for people that learn Torah. And I'm not talking about Gedolei Yisrael and Yeshiva Bachurim. I'm talking about the people that work for a living and use their free time for learning. And today, you don't have to be a super genius to do it. You have the capacity to learn a blot Gemara with Rishonim and Achronim. Do you know what's at our fingertips today in the year 2011? Help me out. You want to learn Daf Yomi. So in the morning, you all know, shuls in our neighborhood have always had Daf Yomi at the most convenient hours in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. Those are the hours that, wow, Kevin wants to get up at those hours and learn, huh? Yeah, sure. No? You want to learn Daf Yomi at 10 o'clock, because that's when you're free, 10 to 11 in the morning, 9 to 10 at night. There's no shir. What do you do? Once upon a time, you're stuck. What do you do today? I don't know that you can go on the internet right now, Google it. You're probably going to find on the first page 5 websites, one in Hebrew, one in English, one in Spanish, one in every language with the daf of that day. Clear, coherent shir. You just got to sit in your house in your shorts and your t-shirt, hold the Gemara in your hands and listen. You don't want to open a Gemara. You want to listen to a good shir. You're driving to work. You're driving to a meeting. Or you're just sitting in your living room. Earphones, MP3s, it's endless and free. It's amazing. If there's anything we could be proud of, it's that there's so much free Torah available today in our community and in other communities. Free Torah to listen to. Well, how many people, I ask, say that's a wonderful thing you're doing? Wow. Because without positive reinforcement, let's face it, we're human beings. We're not going to continue. You get positive reinforcement for something, it gives you the motivation to go on. If the positive reinforcement is not there, it won't last that long unless you're a stubborn you and you can care less. But if you're not stubborn, then ultimately it's not going to last too long. So therefore I believe that if there's something we can do in Chodesh Elul as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah, we're winding down now to the last week and a half before Rosh Hashanah, I believe this message has to be refurbished, starting from the youngest age possible. grade 2 through, learning Torah on your free time, not because of a test, not because of school, not because you have to, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. He put the words in the name of the sages, and therefore you can understand the halacha that you all mekayim every day. So we're winding down to Rosh Hashanah, which means that Sukkot is not so far away. What's today's Hebrew day? 20th? And Elul? Today's Yutet Elul? So if we're Yutet Elul, we're already within a month to Sukkot. So it's a mitzvah to learn Shloshim Yom Lifnei Achag, the halachos of the Yontif. And as you know, Sukkot is always shortchanged because you only got those 5 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So Sukkot, barely no one has time to learn anything about Sukkot. They have to build their Sukkot, buy their lulav and esrog, handle with the prices, and then eventually Sukkot comes upon us. So let's learn a halacha that has to do with Sukkot and Talmud Torah. I didn't make it up. I'm not the super genius that says, what does Sukkot have to do with Talmud Torah? The Tosfos asked the question. Tosfos asked a very simple question. What's the bracha you make before you learn Torah? It's a mitzvah for you, the bracha. La'asok, b'divrei Torah, b'char banu, whatever. Okay. So you made a bracha in the morning, and you learned a little Torah afterwards. You said, Yivarechecha, Torah shebichtav, Eilu dvarim she'en lehem shiur, Torah shebal peh. If you're a real tzaddik and you say korbanos, I hate saying that because I think you don't have to be a tzaddik to say korbanos. It's an open gemara that saying korbanos is in place of the korbanos, so I never understood why people think it's like, if you say korbanos, you're a chassid yisodoyimim. It's in every sitter. It's not like, it doesn't say optional. But anyway, you say korbanos, so you did a lot of learning Torah after you said that bracha. Very nice. You finished davening, you had a cup of coffee, you had your breakfast, you went to work. You had a whole day, you have to look at the stock market, you have to have meetings, some pleasant, some less, and eventually you come home at night, and you ate dinner, and you're a good person, you open up a sefer. For 5 minutes. Do you make another bracha? Everyone's shaking their head, no, you're all correct. So Tosfos asks, how come on the holiday of Sukkot, in the morning after you shake your lulav and esrog, you came home, you ate your bracha, and you made a shirkin, Leishev Basuka, and you ate your meal, and you sang Zmiros, and you were having a good time, and then you left your sukkah, and you went on a tiyul. And you were out all day, you were tiyuling, you drank water, you didn't eat anything, you're not allowed to eat outside the sukkah. Then, at night, you came home to your sukkah to eat dinner, and you're about to say, Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz, and you say, Hamotzi, what do you say next? Leishev Basuka. They ask Tosfos, how come on Sukkah you make an additional bracha every time you go into the Sukkah? Or to be more precise, every time you leave the Sukkah. And yet on Talmud Torah, one bracha in the morning, good enough. Answers Tosfos. Anybody remember?
We've been involved all day, so you've never really left it.
You never left learning Torah. True, you took a break.
Involved with it.
You took a break. But you're always involved with it. Either you're Mekayim the Torah, because in business you're ethical and you're moral. You're an upright Jew. Or you've never left it. Yes, there were certain times during the day you weren't physically learning Torah, but it wasn't like this anymore. I'm now on my tiyul. The sukkah, it's shayach. I was in the sukkah in the morning, and I'm not in the sukkah now. But learning Torah should be an all-day experience. There can be very long gaps between the time you opened the sefer and the time you opened the MP3. But you're always involved in it. Which means when you get into your car, and you put on the radio, and if it doesn't bother the other people in the car, of course, an MP3 should go on. But what bothers me is, all that won't happen unless we do one thing. That Tosfos won't be true unless we as a community encourage it. And positive reinforcement will be part of not just do better in business, get better marks, but rather learn Torah on your free time. And that when people go ahead and have a little Seder Erev, and there's only 5-10 people in the room at 8 o'clock at night to 9 o'clock at night, then a rabbi in Shabbat should get up and say, we're Yasher Koyach to all those that came this week with their sons, or their sons came without their fathers, or the fathers came without their sons, and the daughters came, and the daughters came with, who learned Torah this week. There was a Kol Torah in our shul this week between 8 and 9 o'clock at night. I think that's missing, and if it's there, it's lacking a lot. It seems to me we encourage so many things, and we give a kol hakavod on many issues. But when it comes to this issue, the issue that's keneged kulam, the issue that the Tosfos says, you don't have to make an additional bracha on because you never leave it, I think the positive reinforcement is severely lacking. And therefore, if we're in Chodesh Elul winding down to Rosh Hashanah, it's my hope that this year, at least people that will hear this year, will do what they can to go ahead and to encourage even this aspect in our community, because I believe that the revach, the gain that we're going to have, is going to be tremendous. If more and more people are learning Torah, that means their brains are in the right place, not, God forbid, in the wrong places. We're filling in their gaps of time with proper things. Now, I don't want you to think that you're supposed to learn all day and never have a minute to breathe. That's not the Torah way, as far as I know. Time to breathe, to exercise, to eat, to converse with people, social interaction. All those are Torah values. They're not devoid of Torah. But I'm saying at those hours of the night when you're alone, what do you do? And the second question is, not just what do you do. If you learn Torah, do you feel the community is positively enforcing that? Or the community is just, at the best scenario, disregarding it? And in the worst scenario, calling you that word that I hate. You know the word I hate?
Fumi.
I don't like the word fumi for two reasons. Number one, when you say a fumi, it means that you're going above and beyond the letter of the law. As far as I know, learning Torah is not above and beyond the letter of the law. It's not in the spirit of the law. It's the letter of the law. That's my first problem with frum. My second problem with frum, put this in parentheses, I think that's a very big problem. Because frum means you're good between you and God. However, between us and our fellow man, we can cheat, we can do what we want. A frum Jew is the guy who's makbid on chol of Yisrael, doesn't eat chadash and chutzlar, hanat dozech sheirim. But when it comes to business, if he goes ahead and pays sales tax, then what do we call him? We don't call him frum because of that, correct? I don't even want to say what we call him. In Hebrew, there's a word for it. Starts with an F. F, R, forget it. Gentlemen, I believe we have to go ahead and encourage that aspect in our community. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. Maybe it's because we have so many other values that other communities don't have, that it's very hard to encourage this value together with other values, like get a good education, etc. But I believe this value cannot be disregarded. And if we're going to be living in a world with a lot of combinations, Torah ve'avodah, Torah im derech eret, Torah umada, whatever it might be, it doesn't mean that we're going to be a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We have to have all of this and all of that. And it's going to be more difficult. But that's the avoda, in my opinion, that we have to work on as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. If you look, if you don't want to look at the Yal Chetz with all the Perushim on it, you can look at the Tefillah Zaka that many people say before Kol Nidre, to Mekayim, what the Gemara says, that even though you said Vidui Yad Mincha, you should say Vidui right before Yom Kippur. The Ramban explains that's the Pshat in the Pasuk of the Sne Hashem Titaru. Before you come before God, you have to be pure. So you have to say Vidui before you come before God on Yom Kippur. If you look at the Vidui, if you look at the Tefillah Zaka, you can see many of the Averas have to do not so much with I ate pork, I'm Chalal Shabbos. It has to do with what? Bittul Torah. What's Bittul Torah? I mean, what is Bittul Torah? Let's define the term. What's Bittul Torah?
Doing something else when you could have been learning Torah.
You could have been learning Torah. Not when you're working. When you're working, it's not Bittul Torah. And when you're saying hello to someone, it's not Bittul Torah. And when you're going ahead and being socially active, it's not Bittul Torah. Bittul Torah, in my opinion, is when you have the ability, the time to learn, and you decide not to. It could be 5 minutes, but those 5 minutes, you have to give a din v'cheshbon. Ezrat Hashem, we'll be able not only to learn, but to be able to encourage learning, so that our minds will be in the right place. That part of our body that always works will be working on the right things, not chas v'shalom on the wrong things. But we need the positive reinforcement. So therefore, if it has to start in this kol, let's start in this kol. The next time you see someone learning a daf yomi, you weren't there, you didn't wake up that early. Or you see someone at night staying after Myriv and learning a little bit, Shtai Mikra, Echad Targum, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, whatever it is. Go up to that person and say, Kol HaKavod. Very simple, two words. It's important, it's vital, and it will keep us going in the right direction.
I think they realized you had a kid that suddenly started picking up an algebra book after he graduated. He would say, you would think he's nuts. They view Torah the same way. And as long as you treat it as any other subject and you give marks and grades and this and that, the kids are going to view it that way, and they don't teach a love of learning in schools. So
I believe that our educational system has a lot to be desired. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. If you ask me...
In the state, the morning, the
No, when I went to school, it's also.
It depends on the issue.
No, it depends on the school system, but many schools have morning Torah and afternoon.
I get my friends and I back in Baltimore. Some from the more yeshivish world, some from the Rambam side.
Yeah.
The yeshivish world guys, who I used to learn with back then when I was the beginning about Shiva, they're still learning, Gavaldi, it's great, keep learning, growing the Torah. That's pretty much the emphasis of the thing. And the other guys, who are great guys also, they have been more professional and oriented, and they work more, I suppose. Although everyone in Baltimore works as those machines and not working there either. Those guys, they're learning, they're still putzing around learning in the morning, get a life. And that's their email. Those are the two
radical examples.
Which personify.
I'd like to devote Wednesday this week, God willing, Hashem should give us strength. My finger brought up, that was really mamish, my next on the list. How in the educational system, where we learn high mathematics and high Gemara, how do we explain this is Kodesh and this is not Kodesh? It could be not secular necessarily, it could be general studies. That's, I like the term better than secular. Having said that, how do we encourage and say, listen, as much as we say about this being part of our life and our gestalt, Torah is on a different level than algebra. And therefore, you're right. When you pick up an algebra book at the age of 30, then you might call the person nuts, but I personally don't appreciate. I remember I had a professor of mathematics in my shul who was a very devout Jew, and he really steiged mathematics. I mean, this was his life. It wasn't something that he did because it was his parnassa. He really enjoyed it. Now, between you and me, I don't know in my opinion.
The way it is, you have to take all the secular subjects and tie it into Torah. You show how math is.
All right, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
God
willing, Wednesday, that will be the topic and the subject matter of Wednesday. How do we encourage what I just said with India, where we learn it all? We learn mathematics, we learn calculus, we learn everything on a high level. So how do we explain, listen, even though we have a bagrut on Gemara and math, and it would seem to you the same idea, there is a difference between them. How do we encourage that? And it's not going to be an easy answer, and I don't think I have all the answers.
I think the core issue of everything you're discussing is that we, in the minor Orthodox community, are cultural Jews. We're not observant Jews. And I mean by cultural Jews, we do it because our father did it, and his father did it, and that's our Judaism. And we don't believe in what we're doing. We do it because that's what we were raised
in. Remind me on Wednesday. I just thought of something better than what I had prepared.
Okay.
So remind me on Wednesday, please. It's like I heard a better joke than you said. Remind me on Wednesday to start with exactly what you just said, meaning we do it because my father did it. We'll start with that point, and then we'll go on to the other.